Thanks for being with us. I know that over the Lunar New Year holidays, everybody spent a lot of money, and we try to use our money wisely, so wise money choices might be a good time to talk about this subject. I think we have Hazel with us today. Hazel,
I'm
what
here.
Do you think?
Yeah, sure. It's always good to make wise money choices. We love spending it, but how should we spend it wisely?
Right, and I know that Josh likes to travel, and traveling does cost money, doesn't it?
Traveling does cost money, so I think tips on how to spend your money wisely will then allow you to travel even more.
And what about you, Albert? What do you think? Do you think that it's important for us to really be careful how we spend our money?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, you can be able to spend it wisely, and this way you can spend on what matters and what's important. Money's always a good thing to...
Of course, buying the Studio Classroom magazine is a wise investment for advance, right? What do you think?
I think for the amount of information that you get for the price you have to spend, it is a very wise choice.
That was a commercial, right? But no, we do think about travel, though, and we all love to travel. Most of us do. And we want to save money, but we still want to travel. So today, we're going to talk about ways to save and use your money carefully. I think that'll be a very interesting article for all our people listening in, don't you, Hazel?
I think so, too.
Because money is something, remember, that is to be used. It's nothing to maybe we say to worship, but to just say, look how much money I have. But we have to be careful. We have to make good choices when we use it. It's an exchange. We get something for the money we give. So we have to use it wisely.
That's right. And this article today is going to give us some tips about how we can save money when we travel, especially, I think, on accommodations or hotels.
Well, that's true, because they're giving us 10 ways to save, mostly on the places that you stay. Mm-hmm. Now, you can travel by the airplanes that you use or the train travel. We're going to talk mostly about the places where you might stay, because when you travel, you have to sleep someplace. You have to stay someplace.
Yes,
and this
do.
Can be a very big cost, right? So you can easily spend much more on your accommodation or a place to stay than you do on your travel plans or the planes or the trains you use to get there.
So on page 22, when it talks about this, it talks about cheapo travel. See, is that a real word?
Well, cheapo's kind of a slang word, but I think it's a good word because we use the word cheap sometimes to mean inexpensive. So cheapo is just a slang word people can use to mean not very expensive. You can save money. But we have to be careful about using the word cheap, don't we, Doris?
Yes, because sometimes if things are cheap, that means that they're inferior. They aren't very good. We can say that they are inexpensive. That's a bigger word. Can you say that? Inexpensive?
Inexpensive.
Or expensive means 很贵. Inexpensive, 不贵. But cheapo can sometimes mean not so good quality. Doesn't always, but sometimes.
It does sometimes mean, like, say, if you have a flashlight that you just can't get to turn on and you didn't spend very much money on it, it's a cheap flashlight, but cheap is not a good and descriptor here. You're saying, like, oh, this is really terrible quality.
But if it's very expensive, we could say it's pricey, couldn't we?
Yeah, you can use that word pricey, which you'll hear a lot. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's very good, but it's also a little bit pricey, a little bit more than I wanted to pay.
Another way to say it is great value instead of cheap.
That's right. Yeah. But, you know, we do use the word. When somebody said, oh, that's such a pretty something you have on, I say, oh, it was very cheap, mm-hmm. meaning it didn't cost too much.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean it's inferior necessarily. Mm-hmm. But if you say, that's a cheap trick that people play on people, that means it's a very dirty trick. It's
right.
not nice. So cheap can kind of have a bad connotation.
It easily can have a bad
so
connotation.
So if someone's talking about money, you might want to ask them, do you mean the quality's bad or do you mean it was a good value? Because
right.
that word cheap can mean both of those things.
Well, we have to find 10 ways that we could save, though, on hotels, because they can be very expensive. Now, let's take turns on reading these, and later on we'll read them together. But let's each one of us read one. I'm going to ask Hazel to read the first one, read reviews. Would you read that?
All right, number one, read reviews. Check websites such as
VIP advisor?
VIP advisor or booking.com to find lodgings. Then find the actual hotel's website and compare. Okay, so there are websites that are that people can use to find good deals. And then if you find a good deal, you can read the reviews about those deals because that helps too.
Natasha, you've done quite a bit of traveling. Have you used either one of these websites or not?
Well, I have used booking.com, but I think the message here is that there are a lot of websites like this who are consolidator or what they call search or meta search websites, which will take prices from different hotels and allow you to compare them easily. What I've also done here is done what it says in the exact next sentence, which is that I'll check the deals on the big websites against the actual prices that the hotels themselves publish. Sometimes you can find a better deal if you go to the hotel website, but many times you find a better deal if you go to these big search engine websites.
Well, that's true. It's even true on airplanes. You can buy them from the airline company or through somebody else that's using one of these websites, and you can get a cheaper price.
Right, and all of these websites have an app companion for your phone that I have used personally, and I'm always surprised, like, oh, for example, I may like Booking in the app itself, but I'm always surprised the next time I check, you know, I would go through the motion of checking the website's hotel and other competitors, and I find, like, oh, actually, this other app offers a cheaper price than when I searched last time.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever actually read the reviews on them? I have. You know, I've read one. We were in Seattle not too long ago, and we were looking at a place to stay, and it said on some of those places the price was almost the same, but some said, oh, the Wi-Fi is very bad and service is no good or it's not very clean. And you read that and then you kind of think, oh, maybe I don't want to stay there. I like to read the reviews.
That's right. I don't shop for hotels or lodging very often, but for anything I buy online, I try to read the reviews.
That's good to read what other people think, you know.
I think it's a very powerful testimony for what other people's experiences have been. And I know that in my searching for good deals, reviews really do change my decisions.
Mm-hmm. So that's important to check those things out. That's number one. Now, what is number two?
Well, number two is calculate the real price. Don't just look at the room rate. You must also consider whether there's a resort fee, fees for parking and Wi-Fi and more, because all these little things will add up.
That's right. That's number two. So when you calculate something, I think of a calculator, which is something that figures out the money. And you calculate, you figure out what is the real price. It says it costs this much, but they add this and they add that. And by the time you get through, it's more expensive than some of the more expensive places.
Right, because, you know, we're all different and we have different needs or necessities or wants. Some people might not want to use Wi-Fi when they're traveling, and then this way you can save.
Oh, come on, everybody uses
Wi-Fi.
Oh,
I know you do, Albert.
Even the older people use Wi-Fi. But, you know, if you have a car, you do want to think of the parking fees and things like that, too.
Well, that's true. So, for example, when I leave for another place, I do have to look at my data usage and whether or not I'm going to try and get like a SIM card that I can use while I'm there, that's regardless of what Wi-Fi service I get at the hotel, or if I'm really going to depend on the hotel
sometimes
service.
They charge so much for those Wi-Fi.
Sometimes
some will say
do.
Free Wi-Fi.
And sometimes they say free. And sometimes the free Wi-Fi is difficult to use, and that's why they want you to pay for a dedicated connection. So these are all things you really have to consider in the room price, whether or not it's going to be a good deal for you.
So think about that. Don't you think that's important, Hazel?
It is, because if I was going to advertise a hotel, I would want to put the lowest price. Mm. So that might be a tricky way to put a low price, is by not including some extra things.
Well, that's true, you know, with a lot of things when you're traveling. Like, we thought we would rent a car, And we would get the cheaper one. By the end, we got through and somebody else couldn't drive the car. And then there were this fee and that fee. And it cost more than the regular ones. But it looked cheaper. So whenever you look at the price, even on an airplane, you take a cheap flight. But then you can't even carry a heavy purse practically. And there's a lot of things about it. So you have to look and see what it really means. And they like to make it sound cheap.
Exactly.
But it may not be cheap. So be careful about everything.
I know we used to drive across the country and would get so tired and see a sign, hotel rooms, $39. And then you go and it's like, oh, well, we don't have any more of those rooms. Or, well, you need to add this price and add that price. So yeah, be very careful.
This is a very good point. So sometimes it's not always good, but I mean, you do have to find out. If you want to get an inexpensive one, find out what they have. What's number three?
Well, number three is don't dilly-dally. So many hotels use dynamic pricing, which means as the number of available rooms goes down, the price goes up. So waiting to book could cost you more. So this is an idea of dilly-dallying.
What is dilly-dallying? That's kind of a funny word.
It is.
Sounds like something
word.
Hazel
it's
might
a great
say whenever
word.
She
I love that.
Yes, Hazel, what
don't
is dilly-dally?
Don't dilly-dally. Don't put off things. Don't take your time. Sometimes you're shopping and you're just wandering around. You're not really focused on what to buy. You're just dilly-dallying.
Or sometimes parents would be walking along and the kids, come on, hurry up, and they're dilly-dallying around, walking slowly.
Or you're getting ready for school. Don't dilly-dally. Hurry up.
Eat your breakfast. Don't dilly-dally around.
It's a fun word. We used it when we were children.
Yeah, you use that word now.
I still use it sometimes today, too,
it's
for
great.
Sure. I'm just kind of dilly-dallying around, you know. I'm not really just messing around, not really doing anything or not getting things done, for
But the point is good, too, and I find if I'm going to get an airline reservation, I do this exact same thing. I think, oh, I don't want to make a decision now. I'll put it off and look later. And sometimes later, the prices have gone way up. So
well, I think a lot of you probably should have read this article before Chinese New Year, because during Lunar New Year, if you dilly-dally, you have to get the prices way ahead.
That's right.
And before Christmas and before Thanksgiving and any big holidays, if you don't get the price early, or even for summer vacation is coming up, if you don't get it early, it goes up another $100 or even more, doesn't it?
Plan ahead.
And I know that dynamic pricing is very common on all levels, big hotel chains as well as small, so that if you order well in advance, a lot of times they'll have lower prices in order to give you a good reason in order to make your reservations. But as it comes closer and closer to the day where everybody wants those rooms, they'll make you pay more.
Is that a common term, dynamic pricing? Is quite a quotation here. Is that very common?
I haven't heard of it. I haven't.
This is more of an industry term. So this is something that people who work in the travel and hospitality industry would use, but not necessarily an everyday term. Right?
Because so, it's something we don't use usually, but I think we know what it means here.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So something that's dynamic means that it changes quite a bit, right? So that it can go up or down depending on what time of year and when you book.
Like Hazel said, some of those cheap hotels, they said, I'm sorry, all those rooms are booked.
Right, that's right.
And the price goes up. So if you wait to book means that you order the room, and then you say, I'm going to book the room, means that you have it all settled that you're going to stay there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it could cost you even more. The same room. That's not fair.
That's right.
But it does.
Supply and demand.
That's the way it works, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, what about planning far ahead, Hazel?
Well, that seems to tie in with the dilly-dally, doesn't it? Because if you're dilly-dallying, you might not plan ahead. So it says if there's a particularly iconic place you want to go, note that you can generally book a year or even more in advance. That's what the smart travelers do, and it's why they get the best value accommodations. There's seldom a cancellation fee as long as you don't wait until the last minute.
Okay, now there's several things there in that paragraph that we need to talk about. First one is the iconic.
So an icon is usually something that stands for something else, right? So an iconic place.
Everybody knows about it.
Everybody knows about it. It's very representative, very popular. So, for example, The Eiffel Tower would be an iconic place in Paris because everybody knows about
it. Taroka Gorge.
And there you go, right? So these are places that really stand for the country. So they're very popular places. They're what they call must-sees. So if you're going to visit a country or in an area, you must see this iconic place.
Yeah.
So if you're going to Niagara Falls, better book a year in advance.
There
right?
you go.
A year? That's a long time.
I don't know. I've never booked a year in advance. Have you?
No, of course not. In fact,
I don't even
know
what I'm going to do next year.
The first time I took a real airline flight, I called up. It was about 2 weeks before Christmas. I said, I'd like to book a flight for Christmas to go to another country. And they said, you mean this Christmas or next year? And I was shocked because I had no idea you had to book so far.
You learned your lesson the hard way, Hazel.
I sure did.
Yeah.
So I just forgot about the trip that year and went a different time. But
yeah.
A year ahead, you don't dilly-dally.
So
you
now you've become a smart traveler.
That's right.
That's what smart travelers do, right?
Book ahead and you can get a better price and maybe even better accommodations, too.
Maybe so. And then you say, well, what if my plans change or I get sick or I can't go? Then you have to cancel. And sometimes when you cancel like an airline reservation or a hotel reservation, there is what they call a cancellation fee. You have to pay something anyway.
Right. And I know especially with like Booking.com and their competitors, they have a do not pay or you don't have to pay until that month that you go. So you can reserve rooms at a hotel ahead of time, and there's no deposit needed, there's no cancellation fee, there's just a date they'll give you. It's like usually a week or two or three before the day you reserve for. So that's really a nice perk, you know, so this way it can help you plan ahead of time.
But a lot of places do have cancellation fees.
You do have to be a little bit careful because some places may change their cancellation policy for different times of year.
Especially if they've got your credit card number.
Especially if they have a credit card number. So while maybe during the regular season they wouldn't have a big cancellation fee as long as you give them enough notice, sometimes during a very busy or holiday season they may have a special cancellation fee, meaning that they would charge more. Sometimes they won't even let you cancel at all, and they'll just charge you for the room regardless of whether you're there or not. So you do have to pay attention to what we call the fine print.
Yes, I was going to say, read the small print.
Exactly,
fine print.
And that's the small print that's a special deal or special regulations.
Now, you can go, this is very cheap, but if you change your date on it, why, then you have to pay. So you have to read that very carefully.
And nowadays, there's also another thing where it's like you can pay a small fee to be able to cancel, and they'll refund you more of your money. It's like if you have second thoughts, right? You pay a little extra up front just in case your plans might fall through, or what we mean to say, like your plans might...
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
It is. And some trips even have insurance that you can buy in case you get sick or something happens
right.
And you can't go, especially maybe if you're paying for an expensive cruise or something. You might want to pay a little extra and get insurance.
Well, this next one here is kind of interesting. I didn't think they would even write this one down, but they did. What do you have to share a bathroom? And that's true with a lot of places in Europe and other countries where they don't always have the bathroom, the toilets, and the showers in the room, the older buildings that you might visit, and they don't have that. But you have to share a bathroom, so everybody on this floor or this building gets to share that bathroom. And you might be squeamish. It says if you aren't too squeamish to stay in lodgings with shared baths, you can save quite a bundle, which means quite a lot of money.
The word squeamish is interesting. When I see that word, I just think of the sound, ew, I don't want to do that. It might even make you feel nauseous to think about sharing a bathroom with a stranger. But some people, it wouldn't bother them. So if
you save a bundle, that's a lot of money.
You save a bundle, so some people, the bundle's more important.
You know, those youth hostels that people often stay in, there a lot of those, they don't have bathrooms in every room.
Oh, right. I just wanted to expand on that. Just last year, I went to Japan, and I stayed in a hostel/dormitory-style lodging. And the bathrooms were amazingly clean. You just didn't have that privacy. But it was like gender separated, so you still get that discretion. But it was really nice. It worked out really nice, and I saved a bundle.
So you could save some money that way.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, now let's look over at the next page here. It says that you can join a club. Would you read that one for us?
Yeah, so join the club. You can go online before you stay at a chain hotel and join its rewards club. You can nearly always get free Wi-Fi by doing this, and other benefits too. The desk clerk will be more likely to give you upgrades or other perks if you're a loyalty club member.
Now, a lot of clubs, they advertise a lot of different, like the Hilton and all these well-known places, they have the clubs. And unless you travel a lot, you probably won't do that because, you know, you're not going to be traveling all the time. And different countries have different hotel chains. But some people do join the clubs. Have you ever joined one of those clubs?
Well, I've not joined a hotel club, but there have been other clubs.
Airlines, that's different.
Airlines is different, of course, because then you'll use those airlines in order to get sort of the perks, right? But what I've found is that if you do join what they call these loyalty clubs, that they do often give you small little discounts on things that do add up over time.
Nice. Maybe fruit in your room, who knows?
Maybe fruit in your room. But I think a big one would be things like if you're the kind of person who really needs a good Wi-Fi connection, then sometimes if you join the loyalty club, then you get to have that connection without having to pay the extra $10 a night.
Well, and this idea like upgrades, like on the airlines, if you belong to that club and there's room in the business class, they might upgrade you. And the same way in a hotel, if you belong to the club, you might get a bigger room. Mm-hmm. Well, those are perks. Those are extra things that you might get. But I think this next one is pretty interesting, Hazel. It's about eating. Number 7.
Consider the free food, of course. A free hot breakfast can save you significant change in the morning and speed things along on your day, too. And make sure you know the hours so you don't miss out.
And many hotels, some of them have really good breakfasts. They're known for their good breakfasts,
right.
So people will go there.
So it is probably worth it to get up a little bit earlier, be sure you know the hours so you don't miss it, and maybe get a free breakfast.
That's always nice, isn't it? Especially if you're traveling with a group, like I take the Heavenly Melody Singers, and we have to feed everybody for breakfast. That's a lot of money.
Right.
So you stay in a hotel and you get the free breakfast. It's worth it.
It sure is.
Yeah, this kind of ties into our number 2 item, which is calculate the real price. Some places don't offer a free breakfast if you're going for that price deal.
Well, do you think, though, that you would ever ask for a discount? Read number 8.
Yeah, so number 8, ask for a discount. Hotels may offer discounts for members of certain organizations, such as the Auto Club.
AAA, right.
Yes, and AARP, the military and such. I'm always surprised by this, but it actually does work. Even if you're not a member of a club or whatnot, if you just ask them if they have any special deals or any free upgrades when you get to a hotel, sometimes they're feeling generous and, you know, they will give it to you.
Well, it doesn't hurt to ask, I guess.
It definitely does not hurt to ask at
And
all.
Sometimes if you're going for a conference or something, the conference itself has made a deal with hotels.
That's true. They'll give you one, yeah. Well, and, you know, sometimes we're a little bit shy about doing that, but it's kind of nice sometimes if you, for some reason, let's say you just hurt your foot, you can't walk very well, you can request a bigger room and say, look, I just had an accident or something. You should have a good reason, though. Read number 9, Hazel.
Number 9, request an upgrade. If a hotel's not full, there's no reason not to ask for an upgrade, especially if it's a special occasion like a birthday or anniversary. They might say no, but sometimes they'll oblige you if you smile nicely enough. So
oblige,
in English,
what does that mean, to oblige you?
To oblige, to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oblige, to do what someone asks. So we often say it doesn't hurt to ask, right?
It doesn't hurt to ask for a discount and an upgrade. And that's, you know, you can always try it. But what about number 10?
Disappointed, do something about it. If you walk into your room and you're not happy, turn right around and go back to the desk. Explain nicely, with a smile, why that room won't work for you and ask for another one.
Now, you'll notice it says nicely instead of complaining and saying, that room is no good, I don't want that room. You're not going to get very big help. Do it nicely. Now, what would be one of the reasons? Sometimes the room has, people have been smoking in there and you don't want to be in a smoke. You say, I'm sorry, but I really can't stand the smoke.
That's just what I was thinking. Sometimes the room is stuffy or just doesn't smell quite right. Maybe a little bit of mold or something, and you could just be sure.
You have to have a reason.
Yeah, don't mess up the towels and everything first, but just turn right around and go back to the desk.
That's right. Don't get settled in and then say, you know.
Yeah, and ask them nicely.
Mm-hmm. Another reason why I could feel like you would want to exchange rooms or change rooms is if the AC is really loud. You know, I've seen
that's true. Or the TV doesn't work or something like that.
And sometimes they didn't, you're not getting what you asked for. Maybe you asked for two single beds or one double bed, and sometimes that's not the accommodations they've given you.
So tell them right away, don't just complain about it later or sleep there tonight and then just,
right.
Well, these are very interesting. There's 10 different things, and they're just little hints. And it's ways to save and use your money carefully and enjoy where you stay more. What do you think?
I think these are all good hints to think about. I mean, really, what it comes down to is that you want to be able to enjoy your time and not feel like you're really spending more money than you should. And so these are all great hints
to
be comfortable and happy when you're traveling.
Okay, well, you know, that's 10 different things. Now, tomorrow we're going to talk more about money, but it's a different thing. It's about common wrong ideas about money, certain things about money that we call misconceptions. So I'm sure everybody will want to be here tomorrow. Will you be here?
Yes.
See you all tomorrow then.
Goodbye.
Everybody.
Bye.